in Acts 19. We're up to verse number 21 in our study. We're just taking the book of Acts here, the Acts of the Apostles, and looking at the faith and the practice of the early church. How is this helpful to us now? What was described then that's not prescribed now? Those kinds of things. So these verses that we're in contain the story of a riot in Ephesus. We'll begin with just verse 21 and 22. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I've been there, I must also see Rome." So he went into Macedonia, two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So Paul is preparing to finish this missionary journey, and he wants to go to Jerusalem so that he can go to Rome, which is going to be his final trip. And he sends Timothy and Erastus to Macedonia, and he stays behind in Ephesus for just a little bit longer. From there, we get into the bulk of our story for tonight. Let's have prayer, and then we'll look at these verses. Father, we ask your blessing upon this time. Give us clarity of mind as we consider your word. Lord, we ask that you would renew our mind with a word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide us. Illuminate these truths to us. This is our prayer through Jesus. Amen. We're reintroduced to a term here. Maybe the last time we encountered it was in chapter number 9. But the term is the way. We see this in beginning in verse 23. And at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but also throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships." So we get this idea here of the church being called something else. Now, this is okay. We call it the church now, but them then, what exactly were we calling them? Remember we encountered the verses where it was they were called the Christians first in Antioch, and then it gets called the way, and here it gets called the way again. That way, or the way, speaking of Christ's own teaching, he is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? And so the followers of Christ, the disciples of Christ, forming the local church, are those who are of that way. So things are beginning to stir in Ephesus, especially due to the impact of this missions work and the growth of the church there. So I want to talk to you tonight on that idea of the impact of the church. And we find here that the outside world says those who are of that way are impacting our lives. They're impacting our lifestyle. They're impacting our livelihood. They're impacting how we do things already. The very fabric of our society as it's been for a long time. This guy Paul has brought it here. Now there are those who are doing it that way, and it's changing things. So let's look at the impact of a church. We have this silversmith, Demetrius, and he's upset. His business is down, and he calls the other craftsmen together here. Maybe this was a guild. Maybe this was an early union. But the other craftsmen get together, and the conclusion is the church is impacting their business. As more and more people were converting and putting away their idolatry, the demand for idols made of silver is lessened. Boy, you could go for hours making applications from that very thought from these verses. As people are made more like Christ, the demand for things in society should be lessened and lessened and lessened. And for sure, at times the church goes way too far with that kind of an application, even to the point of monasteries being built. And people say, "I'm going to become a monk," or "I'm just going to separate myself from society fully." But here, these silversmiths, they're losing money, so they have a meeting to see what's going on. To give you a little background information, they talk about Diana here. Diana was a goddess that the Ephesians worshipped and had a temple for, a known temple. The temple was a center of Ephesian economics. So in this city, this was a very important place. It was a large building, 165 feet by 345 feet, built on a platform that was 240 feet by 420 feet. So just for scope, I think this room that you're in right now is 50 feet wide. All right, so this is a larger building or larger room than you would have in your home. But here we have this building that was just immense. The temple for Diana was decorated with brilliant colors, and everything was gold plated. So Donald Trump had been there. I want you to think of this as a revered government building in our time, more than a religious facility. We call it a temple, and it becomes some form of church, even a church unto false worship. And while that is somewhat true, adults, you can go home and you can look up the Temple of Diana, what was going on there. It wasn't religious at all, and it wasn't really used for governmental purposes at all, but it was used for something that they practiced, but it was important to them. Notice how Demetrius speaks here. He works two areas that are close to all throughout all of history. Verse 27, he says, our craft is in danger. Paul says, the idols that we make are not gods. Our craft is in danger. We make these idols. How are we going to feed our family? So what's the first thing that's close to all throughout history that Paul is affecting, that Demetrius is addressing here? Jobs. We're in an election year. You drove to church tonight. There are signs everywhere. Everybody's running for something. Brother Randy Bowers, who used to go to church here, he would always shake your hand and say, I'm Randy Bowers. I'm running for the county line. And so that's all I'm running for, too. As soon as the service is over, I'm going to hit the county line and go home and eat my dinner. But one of the things that people will campaign on is jobs. There's always this idea of jobs and the unemployment rate and having good jobs and putting the good jobs here instead of over there, right? This is a big thing. Well, these guys here was a little closer to home, but it was a real thing, the jobs. The second thing was the patriotism. Demetrius says here, our temple is known all over the world. Well, at least all of Asia. Now, this is Roman Asia. But all of the world worships or knows about this place that we have here. So he's making a strong case against Paul and the church. And the two things he's addressing with this group is, this is affecting jobs or our economy. This is affecting what we're known for in the world. That's something American culture is known for in the world. On the positive. Sports. Let's just say sports, right? Like American football. That's a thing, right? The whole rest of the world plays soccer. They call it football. And then here we are. We've got this other game that we call football. And it's worldwide and it's huge, right? Let's imagine someone comes in and everyone just decides, yep, we're not doing football anymore. There'll be no more Friday night football games. There'll be no more Saturday morning college football. There'll be no more Sunday NFL games. There'll be no more football season. All of this is going away. Some doctor, concussions, all that kind of stuff. Scotty, you play college football. Concussions are never a problem, were they? No, you get your bell rung, what'd you do? Yeah, he's fine. It's all a myth. It's not true. Y'all can't see his feet twitching down here, but it's fun. So the concussion doctor comes and American football goes away. You think that's going to change the world's perspective of America a little bit? Yeah, what are you going to do? You could probably make the bigger case for baseball, you know, America's favorite pastime, or some industry that America has brought to the world around. And here this guy is going at it this way. He's saying, look, we're known for this. But have you noticed how low the admittance at the temple has been lately? Do you see how few of these idols we've been having to make? Now, what he says here isn't completely true, but it's not exactly a lie. It's a perspective thing. He gives his set of facts. He doesn't bring into it Paul's or the church's set of facts. But we see right off the bat through this issue with the silversmiths that the way or the church is having an impact on this town. Well, the impact was so much that the economy is affected. So they got to do something about this. And to do something about this, they stage a riot. Let's pick up our reading in verse number 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath. And they cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And a certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not whether they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So they stage a riot. The impact of the church is affecting the economy from their perspective, and they bring in mass confusion. The people didn't even know what they're rioting about. Some were saying this, some were saying that. They didn't even really know what's going on. They just wanted a riot. I can imagine some families saying, we've not been able to enjoy the fruits of our labor like we're used to. Whatever that would be. We haven't been to Gatlinburg in 3 years because the economy's messed up, because of this, the silver sales are down because of these Christians, because of this church. And so they're just angry. They're just mad. They just want to. Demetrius, very influential. To some extent, his argument here is sound. He said in verse 25, they're hurting our wealth. Once they hear his speech, they're ready to riot. And all together, they begin to chant, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." What are some popular chants in protesting in American history? Anybody think of any? I've never protested anything, so I don't know.
Oh, I think the revolution of taxation.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. No taxation without representation. I'll chant that one. Any others?
No king but Jesus.
Oh, that's a good one. No king but Jesus. Any others? All right. No more that we can say in church, right? In 2016, when Donald Trump was first elected president, I took the boys downtown for the Nashville Golf Show, and there were protesters down there. It was right after that. I didn't think that through. And they were being very illicit. And so I was yelling at ladies downtown Nashville near Broadway. "What's the matter with you people? I've got kids here. Now I've got to explain to them what that means." And my buddy that I was with Chuck. Chuck said, "Get over here. Leave these people alone." I was like, "No, they need to be called out for their mess here. This isn't right. They shouldn't be doing this." They just yelled right back. I didn't stop them at all. They were glad somebody noticed them, I think. So here they have a riot. They start a riot. Demetrius, his guild of silversmiths, they bring confusion upon the entire city. So there's this impact of the way. And from the world's perspective, it brings in nothing but hysteria. It brings in nothing but problems. There's nothing good coming from this. No matter which side a person's on, becomes evident there's an issue between the church and the rest of us. Specifically, the church and the silversmiths. And through this quick hearsay, you could have determined that Paul and his group had done something wrong. They've hurt the income of many. They're affecting our economy. They're changing the world's reputation of our town. Well, what are we going to do? Well, in the mob here, they catch Gaius and Aristarchus, helpers of Paul, and they bring them into the theater here, this gathering place. Paul hears about this. He decides to go in and do something about the situation. The other Christians say, no. Paul, you stay out. We're going to keep you away from the mob. And here's all this mass confusion. The Jews speak up. I love verse 33 and 34 here. I think the Jews want to be sure that we're not them. They are not us. And so they put forth Alexander. You're our representative. And so he's going to stand up and he's going to speak for the Jews. And the crowd won't hear it. In the midst of this hysteria, in the midst of this riot, they just speak over Alexander here, chanting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." For how long? Verse 34 says, for 2 hours they go on with this chanting. So the impact of the church, the confusion of the riot. But then we see the law get brought into this. Look at verse 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For we've brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which were with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another, or let them take each other to the law. Let them sue one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account on this concourse." So for fear of the Romans who were in power, this quick-witted and well-spoken town clerk calms them down. He appeases them. He gets them to be quiet, stops the riot. Verse 40, he tells them, look, we're in danger to be called into question for this. You've got to calm down. The Romans were big on allowing the local law to stay in place as long as there was order. The minute there was not order, then the Roman law came into the place, meaning the soldiers would come in and knock some heads here. So this guy gets them to calm down, suggesting, well, this should be a matter of the law. Now, this is not a loss for Demetrius. This is a win for Demetrius. Otherwise, what case would he have to bring to the law? And if he tried to bring his case to the law, I think it would have been thrown out of court. I think it would have been overlooked. It said, you're just whining because your business is down. But now that he started this riot and stirred up the people to get the people to calm down, those with the authority are saying, okay, let's bring this into the court. Or at least that's how things play out in American society. If you think people are just throwing bricks through windows and burning down buildings because they're passionate about your cause, you're crazy. People are doing this because people who want to get things before the Supreme Court are paying them to go do this. And they bring trucks to cities and they provide them with the bricks and they encourage them to riot so that the government then has to step in and do something about this. We all good there? All right, just making sure we're aware. I watch YouTube. That's how I find these things out. I'm just kidding. It's not true, kids. It's not true. So this is a good thing for Demetrius. It's going to be an even better thing for the church because the church is an upstart. The church is not an official entity. When he says here, these men are not robbers of churches, he doesn't mean these groups of people who meet in someone's house. What does he mean? The offerings at the synagogues, the official gathering places, the known places. And he makes this case here. They're not robbers of churches. They're not blasphemers of your gods. If they have wronged you according to the law, then let's let the law handle it. So the impact of the church was such that a riot ensued. The riot was a manipulation of confused people. The result was a charge to be brought before their legal system. I don't know if I could trace this in the book of Acts, but it could be the very first time the church is official in court. We would say this is a horrible thing, but to some extent it could be a great thing. The way now gets some legal documentation. They get put on the record officially. Well, let me give you three quick takeaways from these verses as we think about the impact of the church even in our day. Number one, the church active is always an attack on the world system. If you don't want to be in a situation like this, be the church docile. Be the church apathetic. We sang the song, lethargic was in the song we sang just a moment ago. Be the church lethargic. But the church active is always an attack on the world system. James Montgomery Boyce says, the fact that there was a riot and so many people got stirred up in defense of Artemis is proof how successful the preaching of the gospel had been. Not only had the gospel spread so that many had become Christians, but the Christians had become serious about being Christians. They were literally changing the fabric of their culture, changing the undergirding of their society. It was affecting how things worked in the public light. When I was a kid growing up, people had, in the South at least, had just gotten unchurchy enough to not feel ashamed having ball on Sundays and Wednesdays. When you were a kid, Brother Scotty, was there any ball on Sundays and Wednesdays? There was no ball on Sundays and Wednesdays. When I was a kid, it was just starting to become like a thing some people would do, but not everybody would do. Now that's what they do. The White Bluff Little League up here mostly plays on Sundays and Wednesdays. And I asked them why. I said, we go to church. Why? My kids can't play ball. And they said, that's when most people have nothing going on. Do you see how things change? Now, I was the weird kid. When I was growing up, they would have it sometimes. And my dad would always call it the coach. Chance won't be there. And I was a star, right? So I thought, we need him. Please let him come. No, it was never that. It was like, all right, see you next game. But that's just one example. But here we see the change in the other way. We've got to be the church active. We need to be the church that is the attack on the world system. I'm not telling you to be a jerk to the local little league, but I am telling you to pattern your life with God first. Pattern your life with your church family first. If you read this, were Paul and the church of Ephesus directly opposing Diana and the temple? They weren't directly. I don't think Paul was hosting worship gatherings and saying, today I'm going to preach on the sin of Diana. No, I think he was just preaching the Bible. I think he was just preaching the word. And people figured out on their own, oh, we worship the one true God. We've got to stop doing this. We don't need this anymore. They're spreading truth. When you spread truth, it naturally comes into conflict with lies. Here we see the truth causing these people to clean up their lives, which has an economic impact on their world. If you want to get a record of that around here, study out the founding of the Ryman Auditorium. Just go look that up and watch why it became a thing. It's a great story to that same end, the evangelist Sam Jones. Paul Hill says in his Acts commentary, the gospel is always at its most controversial when it comes into conflict with economic interests. Amen. Some of the most sacred doctrines of the Bible will eventually come into contact with our flesh. I said that wrong. Will eventually come into conflict. I've forgotten how to talk for just a minute. Will initially come into conflict with our flesh. All of it can eventually be seen as a direct attack on the world system or on Satan, the enemy, right? Though the actions are indirect here, that's exactly what we find. Okay, so the first thing is the church active is always an attack on the world system. Number two, the church is a body. Who are they after here? Who are they trying to stop? Who are they trying to get? Paul. We got to get this Paul to leave town and our business will go back to normal. Was it true? The church isn't dependent upon one person. The church isn't revolving around Paul. No, the church is dependent upon God, specifically Christ. We're the body of Christ. There are going to be Pauls who come and there are going to be Pauls who go, and Christ remains the same. And so when they begin to see, if we get rid of this one guy, you know, the world's view is, if you want to get rid of the snake, cut off the head, that kind of a thing. Well, you got to get to heaven and get Jesus dethroned, and you're not going to be able to do that. And so the church is a body with many members. You can come after one of us, but you're not going to get us all. This is the idea here. The church is a body. And then number three, even when things get bad like this, we see that God is in control. There's a great turn of events here. The word is thriving. People are being saved. Christians are being encouraged to live the Christian life fully. So much so that the world stages a riot. They bring the Christians in before the mob. Paul has to be hidden away. Well, this just seems like a negative. Seems like it's bad. Things aren't going well for this new church. But what really happened here? No one really got hurt that we see recorded. Paul left, but Paul was kept safe during this. And then the church gets on the official record of the town of Ephesus as an entity. If they bring them to the courts, God is in control. Though things get bad, God is in control. This is the impact of the church. When the church is being what the Bible wants the church to be, it will impact the world around us. And we should expect that. But we have to remember God is in control, and that we're in this together. The church is a body. All right, let's bow and pray.